Good afternoon, First Baptist. It's a joy for me to be here today to share the Word of God with you. I'm like R.G. Lee said one time, I'll never forget when I heard him say it. I was just probably about 18 years of age. He said he'd never been in a time in his life when a good sermon wouldn't pull him out. And man, I've counted on sermons many times in my life to pull me out. And so this sermon tonight is kind of an interesting subject. It's looking at the second coming of Christ, but I'm going to title it this way: The Antichrist, Tribulation, Millennial, Rapture. What's it all about? So I want to touch on several subject matters, all pertaining to the coming, the second coming of Christ. I'm going to do it in pieces. I'm going to break it down because there's a lot to look at, and be all fairness, it's kind of overwhelming to think about how that kind of fits together. But I think it's important. Jesus answers a question right off the front of the bat when we talk about this, about how important it is to understand and not be ignorant about his coming. And the reason why, he says we as Christians need to be looking for his coming. We need to be prepared for his coming. We don't need to get caught off guard. And so I just want to help you to understand some things about that, about the second coming, and simplify it as much as I can. But set the tone. First of all, the best news I can tell anybody, anytime, anywhere, Jesus loves us and he's coming back for us. He's coming back to take us to a place called glory, prepared a place for us. And it's a real place. And he loves us so much. He has been working on this place for a long time. I think about this. He made the earth in 7 days and this planet, but he's been building the kingdom in a place called heaven for a long time. So it's going to be wonderful. I'm going, and I hope you're going. You know, if you don't know you're going, why live like that? Whereas a God who says, for these things that we shall know that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know how I know what I know, but I happen to know what I know. So God has been good to me to know that I'm born again, going to a place. Jesus is coming back. There's going to be a rapture for the church. There's going to be a tribulation for the Jews. There's going to be a millennial for the Jews. And then there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And I want to try to piece that together for you today. Because in all of the chaos in our world today, and I think I've told you, and I try to do this every day, I've decided I am not watching media at all. I kind of stay informed through people. I don't have to watch it. People tell you all the time what's going on. But it's so frustrating because there's so much confusion and everything's going on in our world today. COVID-19 is not sin, but it sure has brought sin out into our lives. It has disrupted every part of our lives. It's divided just about every family. It's divided communities and churches, and politically, it is now having its heyday. So I want us to help us prepare, because God has never had a problem he can't solve. As a matter of fact, I got kind of a saying that problems are made to solve. And so learning to solve them the right way. Now our problem is, so when we have a problem, be careful, because we can solve the problem the wrong way. Because solve problems put pressure on us that we want to respond and kind of fix it real soon. I just like to fix it, don't you? But let me tell you something. God's never in a hurry. Now, there's one thing I can get frustrated about all that. He's never in a hurry. He knows what he's doing, and we got to learn to trust him. Our problems, that when Jesus comes into our world, he wants to help us to be part of all that he means in our lives. And he wants us to understand the things about his coming, the signs of the time. In Matthew chapter 16, the Pharisees and Sadducees hated Jesus. He was everything they were not. He was love. He was authority. He was God. And they were the Jews, and they were the religious people. They were the people in charge, and Jesus challenged them. He wanted to enhance their ministry, strengthen their ministry, but they fought him. So they're all the time asking Jesus questions. Let me just share this. I learned this about a principle. Every time these guys asked Jesus a question, you know how he answered their question? With a better question. He never took them on. Now, at times, there was times, but generally, he just answered them with a question from them. So in verse 16, chapter 16, it says, then the Pharisees and Sadducees, you know the reason why they're sad? They don't believe in a place called heaven. It's just a Sadducee. They just don't believe in all that stuff. They came and tested him, asking him, he would show him a sign from heaven. God, just show us a sign. prove to us who you are and what you are in your life. And they were trying to disprove him. They didn't ask him a sign to glorify him. They was asking a sign to disprove and discredit his life. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red." So see, Jesus points this. They ask him about a sign. He says, "You know about signs." He said, "You can read the clouds at night and the sunset. You know when it's going to be fair. You know all this stuff that goes on." He says, "You can read the signs of the weather." In verse 3, "In the morning it shall be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." He says, you can discern weather, but you can't understand the ways of God, his love, his principles. And they were the religious, they were the leaders in the group. They were the go-to guys. But he says, "You guys don't even know." Now, I asked you a question. How much do you understand about his coming? Have you ever studied that? It's pretty exciting. As a matter of fact, the more we have eschatology and learn about the second coming of Christ, I got some family coming over to my house this weekend, and you know what we've been doing all week? Cleaning the dadgum house. We've cleaned the yard, we've cleaned the house, we got people coming. And you know what happened? When we get prepared to go to heaven, we're always cleaning our lives up. We're always doing it better because there's an urgency to live for Christ, and sometimes we just forget. Jesus is coming back. Now, I don't want you to look at your calendar. I watch a lot of Pharisees in this world who declare that Jesus is going to come back on this date and that date. Well, all I can tell you about that is Jesus says no man knows the date. So whatever they declare, I guarantee it's not that day. I declare they're completely wrong. But it's amazing to me how many people get in on it, how many people begin to believe that. And so I don't want you to mark your calendar for his coming. I don't want you to set your alarm clock for his coming, but I want to set your heart in the joy of his coming. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord. Come take us out of this. Come bring us to the part that God, you have prepared for us in a special time. So Christians, we're just kind of ignorant about the signs of the time. And he wants to help us to watch as we realize the signs that have come, that he is coming back. I need to set a couple of principles in place to help us understand the purpose of the signs. Now, let me just share this to you. I try my best, and I have a hard time with this, living by principle and not personalities. You know, I talked to a guy this week. He says, I wasn't too concerned about COVID-19 until I had a family member the other day became sick. Point well taken. He says it changed everything. You know why it changed everything? Because it was his family. When you live by principle, personality doesn't change it. COVID-19 is a problem. It's always been a problem. And if it becomes more of a problem because it's family or personality, it's not fair. It is a big problem, but we don't grade it on who we know. It's the God who runs the plan. So live your life by principles, and you won't get sidetracked in personalities. We won't give up and give in all so easy. But I want to encourage you to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Now, I've been reading about the ear of the Gentile in Romans 9, 10, and 11, preaching about that. Hope you've caught up on that. You can look back and get some of our sermons and pick that to the ear of the Gentile, the church age. Jesus loves the Jew. He is king of the Jews. He is a Jew as all Jews. He honored the Ten Commandments, the laws. He was the God of the universe who designed that to free us up in the fullness. And I'll tell you some good news. We're going to actually start going through the Ten Commandments. Sunday school classes, those who are beginning to meet are going to do that study. And I'm going to open my Bible and go back into that. I haven't preached the commandments of God in many, many years. I have done that in the past, but it's refreshing to do that. Because of this, the commandments never limit me. The commandments free me up to live a life of principle and not personality. Because the principle of God doesn't change by personalities. He is what he is. So we're going to be teaching and preaching those commandments to you. And I hope you will enjoy that. And don't be afraid of them, because that was God's plan for his children, the Jews. He made a contract with them. Man, if you kind of keep these 10, I'll bless you, I'll prosper you. But if you don't keep them, we're going to have a problem. And they all said amen to that, but the problem came because they found themselves far away from God, in the laws of God. So his people fell into sin. And the prophets came and preached, oh, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, and I love to read about Amos. They come to preach to God's people, and they just kind of pushed them off. They didn't pay attention. And these were words that God gave to his people to help them in their sin, in lawbreaking, and their strengths. They went into captivity time after time. I was just reading in the book of Numbers, Leviticus, and I don't do a lot of reading Leviticus, but I can't even say it, Leviticus. But when I go through that, the punishments that they went through from breaking the laws and the wills of God, it was tremendous. So he loves his people. His son comes through the blood lineage of the Jews, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and from the promises and the blessings of that. Think about that. But they refuse to obey God, and they despised Jesus. They rejected Jesus. They claimed he was not God. He knew nothing about the times of the coming of Christ. And they went all the way and took him to a cross. You got to hate somebody pretty bad to take them to a cross, especially an innocent person, especially a person who did nothing but ever love more than you've ever experienced in your life. But they did. And they took him to a cross, and it was a tough time for them. And so Jesus has removed them. The Bible says he has saved a remnant of the Jews. There are being Jews that are saved right now in his Gentile era. He is providing a remnant of the Jewish people. Now, he used to do it through tribes, and they don't have any idea what tribe they're from now. And so it's kind of all blended in the Jewish world, but there is a remnant of Jews that are still being saved that God's going to spare for the last days. And so in that process, we as the Gentiles are now living in the ear of the Gentile, and we're the church age, and God has chose the foolishness of preaching and the great commission to go the end of the world. He has trusted the foolishness of preachers that he called and anointed to preach the gospel. And with grace, he taught them. He taught them that you have never went seeking God, but because of his love, he's been seeking you. He wants to save your life. He wants to bless you. So he's chosen the preaching of the world through the New Testament church, through the Great Commission, that we are to go into the world and preach and teach and baptize them in the name of Jesus. And we're responsible to do that. That's what the responsibility of a church is. It's so easy for a church to get stuck on personality and forget the principle why we're even here. And so as we learn about that, God has moved us into this era. In the process of that, the Bible says he is deaf in the ears of the Jew. He has blinded them to see the righteousness of God. And so they're on kind of in cold storage, if you want to put it that way. As a matter of fact, what I read, 90% of all the Jew bloodline are either atheists or agnostic. That group of people are far away from God, far away from God. They've been penalized more than any group in the world. They've been despised and hated. Hitler killed 6 million plus. And all around the world, there's always been a sentiment to despise the Jews. In the process of that, these Jews are living through the church age as a kind of a secluded people away from God, as a people group. But then one day, God is going to rapture out the New Testament church. We're going to go to a wonderful place called heaven. We're going to be there for the period of time. But after the rapture of the church, a tribulation period is coming. Trials, and the devil's going to be loosened. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be messy. It's going to be horrendous, and it's going to be sacrifice. But in this tribulation period is made specifically for the Jewish nation. They are going to come, and God is going to spare them, and they can take the choice and begin to follow Jesus and find him. And then all of a sudden, there'll be a great move of salvation as he opens up their ears and their hearts to the kingdom of God. There's going to be a great number saved, but they're going to be saved under persecution. They're going to be saved. The blood is going to run for their cause for Christ in that Jewish world. So they're going to live in a tribulation period for about 7 years. It's going to be horrendous. God's going to lock up Satan, put him down there, and all of the fallen angels. And then he's going to take a 1,000-year millennial and the Jews, and there will be remnants of the Gentile in this also. There'll be Gentiles saved in that tribulation. You know what those Gentiles are? Those who weren't raptured. Those who were not saved when Jesus comes to rapture us out. There'll be a remnant of Gentiles saved. It'll be blessings of the Jew. And then for the very first time in the history of their nation, they're going to live in a 1,000-year reign of peace and tranquility. Satan's going to be locked up. Their families are going to work and grow and be blessed by God. It's going to be their day. So their day's coming. But today, it's our day. We're the Gentile. And we must be living our lives for the coming of Christ. He is coming back to us. We will understand all that means into our lives because he will rapture us out into the wonderful making of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let me read this to you. As God wants us to understand some things about his coming, that we be ready for it and be a blessing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to read to you verses 16 through 17. Let me get 1 Thessalonians. You know, I get on the wrong text and all of a sudden I start preaching the wrong sermon. I've had that more happen than once. And you know who tells me about that? My wife said, Shiloh. Yeah, I know better than that, Ron. Chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brother. He just says it. Do not be ignorant. There was a lot of talk about Jesus had already come and you missed him and all that kind of stuff happened in life. But he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Who's he talking to? The New Testament church, talking to us. Brother, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even as God will bring with him, those who sleep in Jesus, those who died in Christ, those are a part of that. For this is what I say to you by the word of the Lord, that we are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And we will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we are caught alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. The coming of Christ is coming. He is going to be a part of our lives. You know, the Bible says there'll be two in the field, two in the bed. They'll be missing. Some will be gone. Think about when the rapture comes and you're flying on a 747. I hope the pilot is not a Christian because he's leaving. Isn't that terrible? He's leaving. And everybody in that, we're going to leave. Think about the awkwardness of that. Think about you've got places to go. You got birthday parties. You got church. You got work. You got all kinds of problems. You got some sick people you're praying. And all of a sudden, here comes the glory of God. The angel is going to shout, and he's going to take his children. And all of a sudden, we're going to meet together, and we're going to a place called glory for a season like we've never thought of it before. Now, I want to help you understand this. This kind of gets into a little bit of discernment. But there's three theories theologians have battled around for years about when the church is leaving. Some people believe that we're leaving before the tribulation, before everything goes bad. The Antichrist is going to rise up. I've always wondered how in the world could one guy snooker a whole world. Man, I'm learning fast how this world is connected, how a virus can affect the whole world in a minute. And so I can see very easily. I mean, I used to preach this before we had the internet. How in the world can that happen? It's happening. But so see, in this tribulation period, when he comes, is he going to, in the tribulation period, you don't want to be here. I don't want to be here for that. There will be a remnant of Gentiles saved. But let me tell you something. Persecution is always stronger. Christianity is always stronger under persecution. And when it becomes persecution, it's something about the Spirit of God that strengthens us, and we can do all things through Christ Jesus. All those things take place under that persecution. And in that tribulation period, there are going to be some Gentiles saved through that time. And that's the wonder of it. But we're going to be raptured. Now, I'm a post-millennial. Here's what postmillennial, there's a postmillennial, there's an amillennial, and then there's a premillennial. Those are the three series or the three doctrines about how we're going to come out of this thing. The postmillennial believes through the power of preaching to a redeemed world and a great commission in Matthew 28:19-20, before all that God's done and when the church is ready to be raptured, when God says now. Now let me just help you understand this. We always want God to wait a little longer, maybe for our children or for our neighbors or for our friends, the ones we're living for. But let me tell you something. Every day the Lord waits, the worse off this world gets. There'll be more lost people in this world tomorrow than there is today. So see, it really doesn't benefit. Now, to our liking, it would benefit us. Have you ever thought about somebody that you know that's lost and won't go to heaven? That will die and go to a sinner's hell and go through a tribulation period that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy? They must be born again. And you know what? If you really believe he's coming, you'd be working actively with praying, with loving, contacting them and encouraging them to meet Jesus if you really believe he's coming. So I'm one of those people that believe when God comes, when we're least expected, he's going to come and rapture us out. We're going to glory before the tribulation period. Now the amillennial are those people who believe we're living in the tribulation. We're going through the suffering and the sorrow and all of that right now. So it's just kind of a transition that we're going to go from the Jews to the Gentiles and to troubles, and then the end is all going to happen at one time. Well, I understand that. I've read that. But the biggest problem I have is Revelation 19 and 20. When you read those two chapters, I believe there is a tribulation period that we as Christians will not be a part of because of the suffering and the anguish. Then last, the premillennials. The premillennial definitely believes that the rapture comes, but it means about halfway through the tribulation period. Out of a 7-year period, Daniel talks about in the Old Testament, that about in a 3.5-year period is when it's really going to ratchet up and really going to get bloody. Then we'll be raptured out in the middle of that. Well, here's what I want to tell you. I'm not going to argue pre, post, or ah. I just want you to know he's coming. I want you to know we're going. And I want you to know he knows more about it than we do. We study the Bible, we learn, and we try our best. The preparation for you, and if you are a study of the eschatology of the last days, it's a great study to have. I remember growing up, I used to hear messages all the time about the coming of the Lord. Today, it's something that's just kind of forgotten and not exercised because it's a joy to know he's coming and we must be ready. As we get ready for the coming of Christ, whichever way you look at that, I want you to know there's some things. Now, I'm going to end this message in just a few moments, and then I'll be coming in part 2 the following Sunday night. And so I'll try to maybe give you a little history when I start again.